This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the June 30th edition of InvestTalk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. This is our daily self-help group. We're here to help ourselves get smarter about investing. And, you know, it comes with experience, paying attention to the forces of the money marketplace and the economy. Learning is about being open to new ideas, especially old new ideas. Old new ideas. They're not new. There's nothing new. Everybody thinks there is, but there really isn't. What I mean by that is being open to consider tried and true methods that may seem counterintuitive or even uncomfortable sometimes, like buying when everybody else is, including your brother-in-law, is selling. Buy when everybody else is selling. That's hard to do. Today we're going to look at six different strategies for mutual funds. So what's a mutual fund strategy anyway? What is that? Let's talk about that too. First, let's get to the Q&A portion. Let's try to answer what your questions might be, not what I want to talk about. Our listener line is always open, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. We are online, and we're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So let's take the question that came in before today's program.
Hey, Steve, Justin, love the show, guys. Hey, I was calling with a question on some terms, and I've heard you use them. This is Mike from Charlotte, by the way, listening to you guys on podcast. The terms are specifically support and resistance. So we talk about a stock or an index rising to a resistance or catching support on the down end. How can you, I believe I understand the terms, but how can you identify where support is or where resistance is by looking at, I guess you look at a chart and tell that. So any explanation I'll appreciate. Thanks again, guys.
Okay, that's a very good question. Let's talk about, well, first, what kind of chart do we look at? It is a 1 year daily price chart. So every day, the price of the stock for 1 year. And that's a very common, what everybody, all the people that are chartists look at first. A 1 year daily chart. Now, starting with that 1 year, you look at the chart movement of the stock, the movement up and down, for that 1 year. And many times in the 1 year, you'll see that the stock itself, the price, will go up, come back down, go back up, come back down, and you'll see that it comes down to a level and seems to stop. And it seems to have stopped before at that same level a couple of months ago or 3 months ago or 6 months ago. And that means there's support in that 1 year chart. If you don't see support, in other words, it just kind of moved up and never came down, kept moving up, never came down for a year, then you do a weekly chart to see where the support is. The resistance is the same thing, but when it goes up and stops, it starts to come down. Then it goes up again to that same point, stops, it starts to come down. That means there's overhead resistance. Start with a one-year chart. If you don't see it there, go to a weekly chart, and you'll probably see it there. Now, there are times when you don't have resistance, you don't have support, because the stock just is marching up or just marching down over year, over year, over year. That happens. That happens. So, you know, it depends. But generally, most of the time, it's not a straight line. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. And then you have that up and down motion causes support and resistance. Now, yesterday I mentioned some books that I think are worth your time. Today, since it's beginning of the 4th of July holiday, you may have extra time for reading. And although these might not be everybody's idea of light summer reading, for me, they are my favorite kind of reading material. Again, you can find all these in our recommended book list section on investtalk.com. This book is called, it's called Warren Buffett's Three Favorite Books. A Guide to the Intelligent Investor, Security Analyst, and The Wealth of Nations. Those are three books. Again, The Intelligent Investor, Security Analyst, and The Wealth of Nations. Now, if you've ever tried to read Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, you're going to find that a very difficult read. But it's interesting. It really is interesting. Don't try to read it like a novel all at one time. Just read different. Start with it. I find it fascinating. Remember when he wrote this? I mean, we're talking 200 years ago. It's fascinating reading, actually. Anyways, The Intelligent Investors also is in the 1930s. A very good book. So these are really good books that you, if you're going to be a serious investor, you need to read these books. The Wealth of Nations is more about economics, by the way, less about investing. The Intelligent Investor is more about investing. Security Analysis is more about investing, but The Wealth of Nations is not. And none of them are going to give you an idea to get rich quick, nothing like that. You get rich slow, but you can't get rich quick. You want to get rich quick, you go to Vegas, play the lottery, but that's the only way you're going to get rich quick. But, of course, that doesn't work. For most, it doesn't work for you and me. It works for those people that you see in the that win those big things, not us. Okay. Also, in the recommended books section, there's a Confessions of a Stockbroker paperback by Andrew Lanning. Andrew Lanning's track record in identifying new growth companies has earned him the unofficial title of Wall Street's most recognized and successful broker. You want to look for those new names. So, you know. There's really some good books there that you can pick out. You know, my favorite there is, of course, Creative Destruction. We talked about that yesterday. There, another one, Confessions of a Stockbroker. Very good book. Confessions of a Stockbroker. And there's more, a lot of more. Essential books for every investor who, if you're going to do this, if you're going to manage your own money, kind of need to read these books. Okay, so just go to the recommended books section on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab and then click on books. Okay, we're going to go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
First, I want to tell you that I'm really addicted to the show now. I always loved it, but now I have to listen to it every day.
Well, thank
and
you.
I go back to study whatever you said, and I just want to say I really love it.
Well,
and,
thank you.
I listen to different shows, but I think yours is the most easy to understand, and you just right cut to the point. So
well,
it's
thank you.
Perfect.
I appreciate that. That's very
okay.
Good.
So, I got two questions today. The first one is regarding life insurance. I'm thinking to buy some. So, I remember you said always buy term. And
yes.
So, regarding how long the term, does it matter, or it just depends on how much you want to spend?
Yeah, it matters. The first question you should ask yourself is, why am I buying life insurance? And most of the time, it's because maybe. You have, if you die or your husband dies or your wife dies, you want to replace that salary for a while, especially if you have children at home. So let's say.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, how old are your children, Wendy?
She's almost 3.
Okay. So you definitely want to have life insurance until she is out of college. So there you go.
So
how about a 20-year life insurance policy? She'll be 23 by then. Okay.
Okay, so when I talked to, I think somebody talked to my husband, they said it's easy maybe to buy a 10 or 15 years old and then change at when we were 40-something. At that time, it's probably easier to change. I don't know much, but...
Well, I spent a number of years in the life insurance business in New York City. So the reason why I like term is because the premiums are really low, and you take if you want to invest money, take the difference between a term and a universal whole life policy, which is $200 or $300 a month, put that extra money into an investment vehicle, and you'll do a lot. Chances are high you're not going to die. You'll do a lot better,
right.
You'll do a lot better putting that money aside than buying a whole life or universal life, because those are expensive. They have high fees. So you can buy the term insurance. Now, I always say, well, you have to have a reason to buy insurance. Maybe the reason is I want to pay off the mortgage if my spouse dies and that income is gone. Or maybe I need a lot more help. Maybe I'm taking care of my parents and helping them financially. So if my spouse dies, I need to help with that. Yeah, you should, Wendy, you should always have a reason as to why you want the insurance. Not because someone's trying to sell you an insurance policy. It's always you. What is the reason you want to buy the life insurance? Because a salesman can talk you into it. Okay?
Okay.
Don't let them talk you into it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The second question is regarding the stock ULTA.
Okay.
I think mentioned before, it's high growth but overvalued or something. I want to find a good buying point
before,
and also if there's a pop, maybe shortly, can they go back to 310 or something like that? Shortly, in the past month or two.
It could, yes. So that was the high, and we talked earlier about resistance. Now that the resistance on this company, Ultra Beauty Inc., it's a $287 stock right now, then now the upside resistance is about $314. So right now it's a 287. Can it go back up there? Yeah, it's very likely to do that. It looks like it came down to support right around 282. Or so, and it's been down three times since March. And every time it's been there, and this is the third time, it bounced back up. So this is support. Remember, it's at 287 now, and support was at 283. So it's right at that support area. Now, so if you're going to take a chance on this, this would be a buy point, okay? Now, we're just looking at a chart. I haven't looked at the fundamentals. It's still overvalued, but we're looking at a chart. The reason why it's overvalued is because it grows 20-25% every quarter in sales, and it grows 20-25% every year in earnings. It's really a good company because of that, with hardly any debt. So, real strong support is all the way down at $235. That's really strong support down there. If it went down there, you definitely want to be a buyer. Wendy, appreciate the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Here's some wisdom from Charlie Munger. You know who he is? He's the chairman of Berkshire Hathaway. The conglomerate controlled by Warren Buffett, as you know. Now, he said, I believe in the discipline of investing, of mastering the best that other people have figured out. I don't believe in just sitting down and trying to dream it all up myself. Nobody's that smart. So he relies on other people to help him. So let's share the smarts. Join in the conversation. 888-99-CHART. Do right now. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good. Happy Friday, Steve.
You too. Thank you for call.
Yeah. I have an account at Merrill Lynch.
Yes.
I think what they say on my account is that it is not federally insured, but CPIC confirmed or something like that.
That's right, CPIC insured.
Can you?
There's two kinds.
Please explain the difference between the two. What is it and what is not?
FDIC is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. That's for banks, for your account at the banks, your checking account, your savings account at a bank. CPIC is for investment accounts. Merrill Lynch has investment accounts. So the banks... FDIC limits to $250,000, and the accounts at investment brokerage firms is $500,000. But it is insurance, and it's federal insurance. It's just a different kind. So you are insured, BJ. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. I'd like to hear about your investing experience. Tell us about it. Let's hear your voice anytime. Listener line is 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. So what's a mutual fund strategy? We're going to talk about that. Six different kinds of them. That's going to be one of our talking points today. And how about Warren Buffett gets richer? I'm going to show you how the rich get richer. And, you know, it's not for you and me. Some things they can do, we can't do. But I'm going to give you an example of that. Bargain hunting in tech land, especially big tech land. I've told you that the big techs have been getting hit pretty good recently. Still not that terrible, but it seems like they've been getting hit. But I'm going to tell you, you got to wait for the fireworks to end. Got to wait. But there's going to be some bargains for you in there. And happiness countries ranked by their happiness. Okay, so I want to talk about which countries are, we're not even in the top 10, by the way, just so you know. But there's some similar attributes that I think are kind of fun for us to look at. And some of the reasons why we're not ranked high is because of how they ask the question or what questions they are asking in the survey. So I think we'll go over those questions and the companies ranked for just for fun, just for fun. And if we can get to it, I still want to talk about the Federal Reserve hike and what it's doing, how it affects you, especially in the housing market. I want to get to that if I can. So what happened in the market today? Did you see it? The Dow ended up being 63 points. It was a lot higher than that at one point. The NASDAQ was down 4 points. And the S&P was up 4 points. So you can see where the NASDAQ is having, it's struggling. It's really struggling. I don't want to give you the impression that, it's just falling apart. It's not just falling apart, but it looks like it's getting weak and weaker and on a high volatility, high volume. So it doesn't look impressive. It looks like we're having trouble here. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, Steve. Thank you. Steve, I have a question on ticker VIPS, VIPS.
What about
it? Is it a good buy at this price?
Okay, let's take a look at it here. If you're looking at just the chart, it's been falling pretty hard. It fell really hard today. I mean, it fell almost 8.5% today. It fell 8.5% today. And it looked like today it was approaching support and it may have broke it. One thing I don't like about it, Jay, is it ended the day near its low of the day. And that means you got to worry about the next time it opens on Monday. That usually is a negative. If it in a big down day of a stock and it ends at the very bottom of that down day, there might be follow through on the downside the next day. Now, that might be a little different because we're over a weekend here, but VIPS is Vishop Holdings, Chinese online discount retailer offering branded apparel at discount prices and limited quantities via vipshop.com. It's a $6 billion company doing about $2 billion in sales, $2.3 billion sales a quarter, and the growth rate is pretty impressive. Up 20-25% every quarter. It's going to make $1.01 in 2018, and it's a $10.55 stock. So I tells you right there, Jay, it's pretty underpriced as far as the value. I mean, you're going to make $1 a share, and you have a $10 stock. It's a 10 PE, growing sales at over 20%. That's pretty strong. Pretty strong. So I kind of like it as your pick to buy, but what was the reason that it fell so big today? Do you know?
No, just I think because NASDAQ is down, so all the technology stocks are going down.
Okay, so then you just wait for it to stop falling. And this, it really has a lot of support right around 10.50 to 10.75. A lot of supporters right there. So it might stop falling right here, but you got to be a little bit patient to make sure that it, give it a few days, before you decide to jump in. Okay?
Sounds good. Yeah,
but it is a good, it is a good value here, Jay. It is a good value here. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That was VIPS, everybody. VIPS, Victor. Here's an investing term you should know. What is vesting? V-E-S-T-I-N-G. What is vesting? Vesting is the process by which an employee accrues non-for-profitable rights over employer-provided stock incentives or employer contributions made to the employee's qualified retirement plan or account or pension. Okay, so he's vesting. So it is a process where the employee accrues rights, okay, from an employer stock incentive plan or employer contribution to a qualified retirement plan or pension plan. Vesting gives an employee rights, okay? Gives the employee rights, the employer provided asset over time. So you're vesting over time. I'm vesting over time. I hope that. Go to investopedia.com if you want to get the full definition. If you're not entirely pleased with your 401k, take an active stance. Check out our active 401k program. It enables you to take control and make the best possible choices within your employer's plan. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Click on the investments tab.
Our podcast continues next. First, a number from KPP Financial. It's reason number 2 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of the risk. So what's the formula? Well, Steve can help you come up with an answer that fits your life situation. And there's never any charge for a complete portfolio checkup for our InvestTalk listeners, and no obligation of any kind either. To schedule your 1 hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review. Or if you'd rather, call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with the podcast. Let's get back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question right now on any money topic. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, I'm Chad from Dayton, Ohio. I have a question about CenturyLink, symbol is CTL. I've been following it for a while. They have quite a few large dividend. What do you think it is the best thing to do? Buy, hold, or sell? Thank you.
Okay, CTL is the symbol. CenturyLink Inc. Provides local exchange, long-distance network access, and broadband services to rural communities in 37 states. The company's out of Monroe, Louisiana. Its sales have been shrinking the last three quarters, 4% or so a quarter. Before that, sales were flat for the four quarters before that. It's going to make $2.10 this year, then $2.06 next year. So you don't buy this company because of its growth. It's a $13 billion company. You buy it for that dividend. And the dividend yield right now says it's 9%. It's a $23 stock. It's going to make $2.06. So for it to pay 9%, that means it's going to pay, has to pay almost $1.80 or so approximately in dividend. Now, it can do that. It can maintain that even because it has a huge cash flow of $8 a share. But what's worrisome is it also has lots of debt. So can it, will it maintain that high dividend? And I don't know if it can or will. I do think that the dividend is fairly secure because it's a, a telephone company and they have really good cash flow. Return equity is only 10%, but that's not bad for a big blue chip stock of $13 billion size. The only worry I have is the debt. So the question is, yeah, it's going to pay a dividend, probably try to maintain that dividend at a high level, but it's going to have trouble because, its sales is shrinking. If they were flat, I'd feel better, but they're not shrinking by much. So yeah, if you buy for the dividend, I don't know if I can rely on a 9% dividend. I have to do more research and find out why they have so much debt. And that would be my biggest concern, looking at that debt, because they have to service the debt. Now, they have plenty of cash flow to service the debt, but that's the one thing I would look at carefully and try to find out what's their plan to at least stop the bleeding on sales. I mean, they're shrinking only 4%, but why? Why aren't you growing your sales 4%, not shrinking it? So it's not a great company, but I noticed that the inside buyers, every time it goes down to the low 20s and the low 22, 23, the inside buyers come in. So maybe it's a good place to buy. Maybe. CTL, everybody. CTL. I guess you have to do your own research and find out. Warren Buffett gets richer. The rich gets richer. You've heard that over and over and over, right? Well, this is one of the reasons. A few years ago, a number of years ago, like 2011, I think it was, Bank of America needed money. It needed money. Well, who had lots of money? Warren Buffett. So they offered Warren Buffett, he bought $5 billion of preferred stock, $5 billion. So they got $5 billion of preferred stock, they meaning Bank of America, and he had the preferred, paying 6%. That was really good. Remember what interest rates are in 2011? Very, very low, but he's getting 6%, which was like three times, 300% of U.S. Treasuries paying at that time. At the same time, he got warrants, and warrants are the right to buy shares of stock at a certain price from Bank of America. And this is way back when. So now he can exercise those warrants, sell his preferred stock, take the $5 billion, use it to sell that, buy the stock using the warrants. He can spend about $5 billion for this, and he can turn it into a $12 billion profit. This is why you and I can't, we don't have $5 billion when a bank is desperately in need of money. This is why the rich gets richer. They can use that money. And of course, Warren Buffett is smart, you know. I mean, this is what he does. And therefore, you know, his Berkshire Hathaway does very, very well because of that. Not bad, huh? Not bad. In our latest webinar, our latest webinar was called "The Basics of Residential Real Estate Investing." This is one. This one is perfect for the hands-on investor who wants to get into real estate, residential real estate investing. Justin teamed up with investor Chevy Atkinson, who's the expert, to show you the things you need to know to be successful. This is a way to see how professionals, investors analyze real estate opportunities, how to succeed with long-term rentals, pros and cons of vacation rentals, analyzing current market opportunities. You know, it's all there. See the replay if you want on the webinar. You can do that. Sign up on our InvestTalk Insider page, which is free. It's free. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then the Insider's Archives.
First things first. Before you can build a sound investing strategy, you need to learn a little about yourself. What is your tolerance for risk? You may have been more willing to take more risks earlier in life, but what about now? Take our award-winning risk analysis test on investtalk.com. It's a no-cost exercise that could just give you some insight into yourself.
Hi, Steve. I'm a new listener. I've been listening for the last few weeks, and I'm really enjoying the show. I was calling to ask on two different questions. One was Snapchat. What's your opinion of that? Yes, they don't make money as much as you like. So I was curious what your thought was on that because it's dropped a lot. And then the other one was Kroger. You keep talking about the change, the correction in the stock market. So I was wondering, do you think that Kroger is going to drop even more, or is it going to continue to increase after the huge drop from Amazon and Whole Foods? All right, love to hear the answer. Thank you.
Okay, on Snapchat, you know, it's an IPO that came out in March. And remember, the insiders, after 6 months, get to sell. They got to hold for 6 months, hold, the insiders do, when something comes out on IPO. And then they have the right to sell. It's very common that a IPO is trading that lower 6 months later than the IPO price. Now, IPO at $17 a trade share. It was high as $28 a share when that first three days. Today it's $17.77. So remember, IPO at $17. The first trade though was $24 a share. That's the first trade. But the IPO price, the people who took it out, got it at $17. Then they sold it to you, the public, for the first trade at $24, $25, $26, $27. They made a lot of money. You, the public, didn't. Now it's at $17.77. Is it a good place to buy it? It might be, but you know, they're not gonna make any money. I don't like buying stocks that don't make money. So I wouldn't wouldn't touch it myself. I'm not interested at this point. And Kroger, you mentioned Kroger, you know, the stock got killed because of the Whole Foods buying, Amazon buying Whole Foods. And so Kroger got hurt because of that. That, you know, that might allow you to pick up something on a bargain basis. Kroger, K-O-K-R. Because I don't think that deal, and I said at the time, it's not going to hurt Costco, and it's not going to hurt Kroger. It's not going to hurt, you know, I can't see how that is. It might be a problem for Amazon to try to run a grocery business. It might be I think it's going to be a very difficult transition. But everybody thought, what a great idea. Well, it probably is a good idea. I'm not even saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying it's not going to hurt the competitors as much as people think. So KR might be a good place to buy. Might be a good thing. Main talking point, everybody, what we didn't get to yet, which is, you know, mutual fund strategies. What are mutual fund strategies? Well, we're talking about like value funds and growth funds, income funds. These funds have a strategy. They're producing income, or they're buying cheap stocks, or they're buying stocks that are growing. Maybe even a tax-efficient funds, you know, efficient. Buying companies that, you know, managing the mutual fund in a way that there won't be any or few taxes. Then you can buy funds that are different market capitalization, big cap funds, small cap funds, large, mid cap funds. All those are different strategies of those funds and how to take advantage of the marketplace, the stock marketplace. Now, some of these strategies work great and sometimes, and some at other times they don't work so good. So you can buy the funds you think are going to work in the various environments that we're in. And that's what, you know, mutual fund strategies are all about. You, as the investor, have to decide which strategies you want to be. Maybe you don't want to be bothered. Maybe you just want to buy an index fund, the whole market. Well, you can. That's a strategy. A strategy to buy the market, the S&P 500. Okay, there's a number of mutual funds that's what they do. And if you're going to do that, just make sure you buy the one with the least cost, which generally speaking are Vanguard index funds, Vanguard, just so you know. I'm not suggesting you go buy Vanguard, but they are the least expensive on the index funds, just so you know. Okay, 888-99-CHARGE is our number, 888-992-4278. Bargain hunting in tech land. You know the big techs have been hurt because I've been talking about it. They've been hurt pretty bad. But is the fireworks over? You want to buy bargains, right? You want to look for bargains. I'm keeping an eye on it myself. But is the pain over with? And I'm going to suspect that it may not be. But I don't know. But I think you got to wait till after the 4th of July. Wait till the fireworks after. Why? Because out next week on Monday, remember it's not a holiday, the holiday is on Tuesday, manufacturing auto sales come out. There's a lot of, Monday also, ISM comes out. Construction spending comes out for the last month. And that's just on Monday. On Wednesday, we got factory orders. Thursday, ADP, market PMI, ISM non-manufacturing numbers. Friday, we have payroll. I think we're going to have a pretty interesting, busy week of economic numbers. And everybody's going to be looking, when I say everybody, I mean everybody in my industry, are going to be looking at these numbers to see if we see a weakness. Remember, the Fed's been raising rates, wants to raise the rates again. And we're looking for economic weakness. If there's kind of economic weakness, you might get a little bit of fireworks because Trump is not getting anything passed. I wrote about it in our newsletter this week. Trump didn't get his, you know, is not succeeding on the big items. He's doing the things he said he would do on the small items, but not the big items. What are the big items? Tax reform, tax reduction. Okay, the investment world is already building in that will happen, but we're not getting much progress. Infrastructure spending, have you seen much progress there either? And, of course, the thing that's been in the news is his health care, you know, replacing and revoking the Obamacare. Well, the investors think that should have happened and have built in, for those three main things, built in prices in the stock market, that it has happened, and therefore the market's gone up because of that since he's been elected. But what if it's not going to happen this fast or the way the market has anticipated? And so it's looking at the economy, and it's looking at that and having a little bit of doubt filter into the market. And that's why you're seeing all this volatility. That's doubt you're seeing. Doubt coming into the marketplace. So wait for the fireworks, but they might have some bargain hunt. We might be able to get, pick up some bargains, people. I'm excited about it, maybe. Let's talk to Jackie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Jackie? You want to talk about Starbucks. How you doing?
Good. Hi. Good. Yeah, so I have a question. I've been looking at Starbucks, and I've been wanting to buy it to add to my portfolio, but I'm trying to see if it's still too expensive right now, but I'm looking at it more in a long term.
Okay. It is expensive. And, you know, from a pure value play, yeah, it's too expensive right now. But I'll tell you this, the five-year P.E. range for Starbucks is 24, which is really high when you're talking about the overall market. The low is 24 to 39, the five-year range for P.E. And right now it's at 30 because it's coming off from $65 down to $58. So this is the fall that you can take a, take advantage of. But the question is, in your mind and mine, is this the end of the fall? There is a lot of support right between $56 and $58 a share. So it's coming right into support now. But there's also a lot of support at $54 and $50. So I think, okay, Jackie, this is where you want to be picking it up during this fall. Now, the question is it done? And I think you want to wait another few days, another week, maybe see what next week brings us. Because I think it might come down a few more points down. It may go down to 54, 55. And you're just going to have to bite the bullet and buy it. You're just going to have to. Because Starbucks is a very good company. It's just a little expensive. You're going to have to buy it expensive, I think. Okay?
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie. I might, as I said, wait till next week and let's see how it acts during that holiday week. Let's see how it acts. But you're going to have to pay up for it. You're going to pay in the 50s, the low 50s maybe. You might get in the low 50s. And I think that's about as best as you're going to get on Starbucks for the time being. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. Nick is holding on in Hayward. So hold on, Nick. Then we'll go to you at 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you.
Steve, what's your opinion regarding, I want to park some money that I have laying around in a bank.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking of corporate bond, maybe going 5 years out, or a preferred stock. How would you, which one would you prefer?
Well, it depends on the bonds. Your bonds, you want to be very careful because you want to buy them. We want to buy quality bonds, not junk bonds. So therefore, you're going to get probably a little. You'll have to accept less return, but it's still. You know, on my 5-year bonds, we're getting about 4%, maybe 5%. Good quality.
Really?
Bonds. Yeah, not junk bonds though. Not junk.
Would that be like double A or triple A?
Triple A.
Triple A.
You really want triple B or higher. Triple B or higher is your quality bond range, okay?
Okay.
So now a preferred stock, that acts kind of like a bond. You get a certain yield, but you'll have again, I would do a preferred on a high quality company of like a blue chip type of company. So that because you're trying to, you don't want to take a lot of risk, Nick. You're trying to manage the risk. So either one would be good. They are just different animals. Both have a maturity date usually attached to them. And then you get your money back. So either one would be good. It's just that you got to get the right quality. You want to be, I would stay away from junk bonds because, you know, we don't know what the bad corporations, I want to say bad, weaker corporations, call them weaker corporations, they have high default rates when a recession comes, and I can't tell you when the next recession is going to be here. So you want to stay away for the lower quality ones, okay?
And pay less than $25, right, or at 25?
Well, it, you know, the price is not really the determining factor, really. It's the quality.
Okay.
The price quality, is okay. Thanks for the call, Nick. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4270. We don't have much time. Happiness ranked by country. Strong, you know, what's interesting is this is a big survey, comes out every year, and they survey the countries and what country makes the most people in their country the happiest. And it's always, almost every year, it's the Scandinavian countries that end up at the top. Norway, Denmark, 1 and 2. Iceland, number 3. Switzerland, number 4. Finland, number 5. 6 is the Netherlands. So those are always, those Scandinavian countries seem to be always near the top, right? Norway, Denmark, Finland, Netherlands. Then number 7, and what is this? What are they basing it on? Well, they're basing it on why the U.S. is not always at the top. They're basing it on caring, freedom, generosity, honesty, health, income, and good government. What is very interesting is almost every one of these countries in the top 20 have strong, very strong rule of law. Laws that are on the books are followed. Not, you know, political corruption. The laws are the laws. Canada is number 7. 8 is New Zealand. 9 is Australia. 10 is Sweden. 11 is Israel. 12 is Costa Rica, which I found very unusual. Remember, Costa Rica defaulted on all their bonds just recently. All the corporate bonds, all the government bonds. Australia is number 13. Austria is number 13. Austria, because Australia was back number 9. And then the U.S., number 14. And then right behind us is Ireland. I thought that was interesting. I thought I'd share that with you. What's interesting is how they, caring, freedom, generosity are the top 3 items they're looking for in the country. Well, you know, doesn't necessarily mean good, a good country. It just means caring. Time's up for the hour. My July portfolio checkup schedule puts me in San Jose. I will be in San Jose on July 18th. Or we can meet up via Skype or telephone, anywhere you, anytime you want, pretty much. To reserve your hour for an individual portfolio review, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole family of KPP, thanks for being with us today and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.